Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Former President Bill Clinton has been hospitalized.
We have a report that former President Bill Clinton has been hospitalized in New York City.
The former president has been transported to a hospital.
The former president had heart surgery back in September of 2004.
We have a reporter on the way to confirm it.
William Jefferson Clinton has been embroiled in what has been, you know, obviously the kind of situation that would be difficult on any man.
Unofficial word from campaign people that we're hearing is that he's back in the hospital for a stent.
So if you were doing plumbing, you had a clot in the middle, you just bypass that clot and the blood flows normally in the heart.
Bill Clinton.
President Bill Clinton.
The former president.
Bill Clinton.
He has really thrust himself upon the recuperation.
Well, that's one of the biggest stories right now. Not that the Hitler of Iran fulfilled his threat to punch us in the face. No, he saved that for the innocent, defenseless Iranians, hundreds of whom have been jailed, raped, tortured, murdered without a peep out of the Secretary of State or any of the Western powers. He's doing exactly what he pleases with his Iranians. And, of course, it's of no use to the Western media because, after all, the only protesters of any interest to the Western media types are those with legitimate grievances. And those who want democracy in Iran are not legitimate, nor do their grievances count. It would have to be an illegal alien rioting in New Mexico to get the attention, or let's say an inner-city gangbanger rioting for something that would get the attention of the vermin in the media, certainly not Iranians who want a pro-democracy movement. But that is happening. He did not nuke us, so therefore the numbers guy from Chicago was wrong. So, Mr. Numbers, you were wrong. Thank God you were wrong. Global warming blankets the East Coast, and yet the Schmendricks on MSNBC say that anyone who questions that global warming is causing a global blizzard is an unpatriotic fool. Green fascism is alive and well at NBC. Nothing but crap. Frigid British winter kills 1,200-year-old oak tree. I'll repeat that again. A Welsh oak tree, already more than 300 years old, when King Henry II spared it in 1165, could not withstand the unusually cold winter of 2010. Al Gore, not the unusually hot winter, but the cold winter killed the oak tree. So I'd like to ask you, what sticks in your mind most about Bill Clinton? We wish him well. We hope that he has a speedy stent recovery. We hope that he does not suffer any pain. He is a human being, and he's flawed like all men, just as I am. But let's not glorify his administration. We certainly remember Whitewater, Travelgate, Billingsgate, Cattlegate, Filegate, Golfgate, Indonesiagate, Vince Foster, and the Lewinsky scandals. But as you well know, they're going to sweep most of this under the rug and deify anybody on the left and vilify anybody on the other side. And so if you want to talk about any of these topics, I guess you can call somebody else. Because I don't even think I want to, I don't think I want to talk about any of them. Here's Dianne Feinstein, the chairman, I swear to God, the chief or the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee is a woman who hates guns, a woman who has seized guns, a woman who's uncomfortable around Daisy Beebe guns, is in charge of national security for the U.S. Senate. She was asked today, what is the likelihood of another terrorist attack? Now listen to clip four.
What is the likelihood of another terrorist attempted attack on the U.S. homeland in the next 3 to 6 months, high or low? Director Blair?
An attempted attack, the priority is certain, I'd say.
Mr. Panetta?
I would agree with that.
Mr. Mueller?
Agree.
General Burgess?
Yes, ma'am, agree.
Mr. Dinger?
Yes.
All right. I think that tells us something very clearly.
There it is. Now, here is the entire conglomerate of the United States intelligence community. Dennis Blair, director of national so-called intelligence, Robert Mueller, FBI, Leon Panetta, CIA, General Ron Burgess, DIA, and they're all saying, yes, ma'am, there will be an attack, an attempted attack. Not one word about how you're going to stop it. Not one word of what are you going to do to kill them. Not one word of what are you going to do to protect the American people. They're sitting there saying, expect to be attacked, we'll be in our bunker. Now, is it any wonder that the people in this country have no faith in the government? When you have a woman like this in charge of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and you have intelligence chiefs who say for sure they're going to try to hit us. Now, I don't care whether you're a liberal. Doesn't matter what your politics are. Doesn't matter any of that. None of that matters. How in the world could you sit here and believe that you're secure in this administration with these kind of patsies running everything? The men sound like political eunuchs to me, answering to this Feinstein out of San Francisco, who has a terrible record in terms of her own security issues, frankly, in terms of her own patriotism, if I may say so. Yes, I dare say so. I mean, there's been some shady deals over the years that have been associated with Dianne Feinstein, even reported by the L.A. Times, not by Michael Savage. That's when the L.A. Times was still making money. They were actually doing reporting. So what is it you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? I have some fun for you today. About to have an Altoid now. I'm having an Altoid. I shouldn't do this. Why should I tell them what I'm having? They don't advertise. I like the wintergreen. The wintergreen this time of year because it's winter. But we have a John Scungile thing for you. Remember years ago we met John Scungile? And he told us about anger management and how they control anger in his world. Don Scungile had good ideas on anger management for those of you who are regular listeners on the Savage Nation. Well, we visited Don Scungile at a hidden location in Oregon last night. He is almost 90 years old and confined to a wheelchair. We're going to have an interview with Don Scungile and his views of all things in the world. This is only for the regular listeners of the Savage Nation who will know who John Scungile is. What else do we have for you on? Well, the website has a kind of good stories, bad stories. I can't even read them to you. Osama's son warned, not Obama's. Osama's son warned successors will be worse. His son said to ABC News, always Bolshevik crap. From what I knew of my father and the people around him, I think he's one of 30 children. From what I knew of my father, he's talking about Osama bin Laden. I believe he is the most kind among them because some are much, much worse. You hear this? So in other words, you ought to be happy that you have Hitler because there are worse people than Hitler in the background. What is this? What do we have now? Biden. Iraq is one of Obama's great achievements. Oh, God. What else is on the website? Bill Clinton rushed to the hospital. Not funny. Iranians attack French and other embassies. You're not interested in that, though, because the Iranian pro-democracy movement doesn't exist to the vermin at ABC, CBS, NBC, and MSNBC, and CNN. They don't have a legitimate grievance. Only oppressed minorities in America or illegal aliens are legitimate minorities and have a legitimate grievance. Pro-Iranians have no legitimate grievance to the vermin in the media. Could you play some rock and roll? I feel a little flat today. I'm tired. I got up too early, number one. It's like the Beware the Ides of Mars. I expected a nuclear attack and it didn't come. I'm relieved on the one hand, but I'm exhausted from it. What is this? Jerry D. Lewis? That's Jerry Lewis, the comedian?
Breathless.
Breathless. Oh, I'm having breath mints. I see. Very funny. I'm sure it's love, honey. Let's know. Come on, wake them all up out there. They count on me to keep going. You know I'm the tumor on the radio. I gotta wake them up out of their stupor. Most people are depressed like you can't believe today. I turn it. I don't care for this that much. Nah, it doesn't do anything for me. Here we are, February 11th. You had your Super Bowl already, son. What's to look forward to? Taxes and death. That's it. There's nothing left. That's all you got to look forward to. What, you got a minor holiday coming between now and Memorial Day weekend? It's like a black hole for the average worker in America. 3 out of 5 days they work for the government. Think about that. If almost 4 out of 5 days they work for the government, so they can support illegal aliens with health care, medical care, legal care, your care, hair transplants, heart transplants, you name it. What do they got to look forward to? Oh, it's President's Weekend. Used to be known as Washington's Birthday. But once the communists took over, they got rid of the name Washington. You see, the only names that you can remember are minority names. Washington was an evil white male who founded the greatest country on earth, so they got rid of Washington and Lincoln even. New York City, Steve, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Mike. I think even you would agree with me. Now, I'm very conservative, but I'm looking at Bill Clinton in terms of our present president, and I think we have to admit that Barack Obama is no Bill Clinton. At least.
Well, wait a minute. Hold it. Who's better, Bill Clinton or Barack Obama? Who's better?
Bill Clinton, of course, and not because I'm a big fan of his, but in terms of a leader engendering a little bit more confidence.
Absolutely. Even though Bill Clinton was embroiled in many scandals, you know, you look back on some of them, they were peanuts. Cattlegate. Hillary Clinton's mysterious ability to turn a $1,000 investment into a $100,000 profit on cattle futures. That sounds like pocket change today, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And I must say, I think he benefited somewhat from the peace dividend that President Reagan and the first President Bush gave him. But in looking back...
No, but if you look back on a lot of the scandals around Bill Clinton, with exception to me of Chinagate, where so many, let us say, sensitive secrets were transferred to China for money, other than that, most of the others, to me, are rather insignificant. In the sense that, what are you going to prove, Vince Foster or Lewinsky? What there? Lewinsky never was never an issue to me. I never made that an issue.
I totally agree.
I never made that an issue. I just couldn't believe a man like him would have a taste for a woman like her. The only part of the Lewinsky scandal was the fact that it was Lewinsky. I mean, the guy had no taste.
Well,
you would think a president could have done better than her. I'll be right back.
Savage.
So Iran threatened the West with a big punch today, and apparently no one got punched except the innocent Iranians who want a democracy movement in Iran, and they're waiting for the U.S. to help them, and help has not arrived. The other day, Nancy Lugosi said that she's going to get health care if she has to pole vault in, parachute in, jump in, break down a wall with such passion. And I said, you know, not so kiddingly, if only she had the same passion for defeating al-Qaeda, we would have won this war a long time ago. But no, the left has only a desire to impose totalitarianism on the average, wage earner. That's what it comes down to. And so, therefore, what are you going to do about it? Just on a side note, I am friends with my dog, Teddy, again. He is so cute. He is so cute. I mean, it's worth it. You know, at the end of the day, it's like letting him rip a sock up. You could say like a dog takes a sock. I remember a couple of years ago I complained, he grabbed the sock, and a guy called. He said, so let him have the sock. And I said, you know, you're right, let him have the sock. So if he pees once in a while, it's worth it. I mean, when he curled up last night and went to sleep, if he didn't look like a living teddy bear, which I was not allowed to have as a kid, my father didn't permit me to have teddy bears because that was for sissies. Well, now that I'm, you know, my own man, I like teddy bears, particularly living ones. And there he was, curled up. I couldn't believe what a little teddy bear he was. Curled up in a ball, sleeping. He looks just like a bear who just ate a honey stick. I'm trying to, like, tell you, you know, there's more in the world than the Hitler of Iran and Obama and whatever. But I realize, you know, you're going to want to hear about evil. You know that it's funny what radio is. It's really part of the media. And unless you're frightened, you don't listen. Or when you think about it. You know, I joke and I say the media is, if it bleeds, it leads. If it burns, it earns. In some way, is this any different in a way? I mean, when you think about it, I'm talking to you like I know you. I don't have to just frighten you every second with some, you know, the sky is falling, because we know the sky is not falling. What is falling is socialism from the Obama administration. They're trying to impose it upon us. The czars are communists. He is a socialist/communist. And so we know that. And we don't have to say it every day. That becomes a boring show. So we don't have to, I don't know, what do you want to talk about? The blizzard? The blizzard of 2010? There was one in 1947, I remember. I was alive. I don't remember it, but I heard about it. The streets of New York were covered with snow. Hey, blizzards come every couple of decades like this. Why are they making such a big deal out of it? I loved the blizzard when I was a kid. Because, you know, you didn't go to school. You stayed home with your parents. Your father didn't have to go to work. Everyone was home. You know, kids don't care. They don't know about money. All they care, they love that the mother and father are home with them. So my poor dad worked 7 days a week. But when a blizzard came and his poor DeSoto was buried on Utopia Parkway with a plow, did they still have, like, a truck for the plow? They must still have them. They'd bury the car with the plow. The poor guy couldn't go to work. I liked it. He stayed home. I didn't know that there was no money coming. And what did I care? We stayed home. The windows were fogged over. We all, like, rubbed the storm windows and looked out onto the street to see what was going on. Then we shoveled. It was fun. I miss the snow. I mean, here on the West Coast, I can go up to the High Sierra. I can get the snow if I want. But I'm not into, like, the snowmobile thing. That's the problem. And I don't ski. I mean, I missed that. I was an inner-city slum kid, so I didn't ski. I sledded. I was a sled guy. I'm not proud of it. I mean, I made sure my kids skied. The first thing I did was I said, we're going to break the chain of servitude. They're going to learn. So I put money away. They skied when they were very young, and they both skied. Thank God. I don't ski. And at this age, I'm not picking up skiing and breaking a leg. A lot of people, I know people, they break their legs in their 30s now. You got to be nuts. And what's the fun, really? I mean, I understand skiing is fun. But it's like a subway up there, clattering and clacking and sticks and cutting you off. I mean, it's not Gdansk in 1957, which, you know, with the guy who played 007, Sean, what was his name, the guy who played 007? Sean Connery. I mean, when you say skiing, you think Sean Connery and Julie Andrews at Gdansk having fondue. But that's all changed. I mean, no one here. Who's going to go to Gdansk right now? Is Gdansk, how do you say Gdansk? Gdansk or Gdansk? Gdansk, Gdansky, Gdansk. But it's very nice houses, very beautiful houses. I don't need it. I go to the High Sierras, the John Muir country. Where do they go? Where do people from California go to places like that? I don't understand.
Savage.
This is the Red, White, and Blue Panther, the Savage Nation, broadcasting live from beautiful San Francisco. Thank God the sun popped out already. I can't wait to go boating for 10 minutes on Saturday. The San Francisco Bay, I'm looking at it flat like a lake right now. Calm, not a wave. I see a tour boat off Alcatraz. Every time I see Alcatraz, I think of a couple of movies. You know, Clint Eastwood did an interesting one. You know, the Birdman of Alcatraz was done there. Nice, nice, nice. Anyway, it's a beautiful city. You can hear the cable cars. You can hear the trolley cars rattling in the background. If you can step over the stench of the bums and avoid the bullets in certain neighborhoods of the illegal aliens having shootouts, you'll love the city. The food is great. And that's why I live here. People say, why do you live there? Such liberal. Not everyone's a liberal here. You know, 30% of the people feel like they're prisoners, trapped in a prison. They think that the liberals actually have that much power, but if you really understood them, they're like scarecrows, the liberals. They scream a lot. They intimidate. You know what? Don't be so afraid of them. Most of them are nothing. Do what you want to do. You live in a free country. Tell them to go to hell. That's all. So what do you want to talk about in the Savage Nation? Hey, here's an interesting call. No, I was talking about skiing before the break because I've been meaning to get up to the snow. I haven't been up there in years. I don't know what happened. I used to love the snow. I used to go every year to like I liked North Lake Tahoe on the Nevada side. I even owned a house up there once for a year. I couldn't take this chimney smoke. This is the problem. Man ruins everything. Wherever you go, man ruins it. You go to the most pristine places on earth, there's a schmuck burning a wood fire. You can choke to death. It's like industrial England. The pollution is the equivalent of industrial England. I have a house in a neighborhood in Marin County. All of them with the peace signs on the sidewalk and the two fingers and the Obama signs, they make the most pollution of all. They're all into global warming and the environment and CO2. You can't go near the house. It looks like a smelter in London in 1597. You know, at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution in the 1600s. Go tell a liberal what a hypocrite he is. Why is it I'm a conservative? I don't burn firewood. I want fire. I like if I have a gas fireplace. It works. Why doesn't the Bay Area ban wood fires? Why? What's wrong with these people? While you're at it, you can ban the barbecue, too, at the same time. I know I'm not going to engender a lot of love amongst conservatives. They'll say, who are you to legislate? We have the right to make fires and barbecue, whatever we want. Well, you have the right to dump mercury into the bay, too, if you want, right? Then throw old batteries into the bay and kill everything. No, you don't have the right to poison the air. We all share it. How's that? I mean, I have been a conservationist from the time I'm a child. I try to save the environment, so don't give me a lecture on it. Most of these fraudulent environmentalists never go out into the environment. I'm a boater. I'm a botanist by profession before I was in nutrition. So don't give me a lecture on the environment. Don't listen to these cockamamie liars. Most of them don't even go into the environment. Why am I saying this? What am I getting so excited? Why am I so excited over this? Play that music again. I got off the track. I'll tell you why I'm excited. You pay me to be excited. I mean, if I wasn't on the radio, you know what I'd be doing right now? Taking an afternoon nap. I ate too big a lunch at the Chinese restaurant. I shouldn't have done it. Every time I do it, I want to go to sleep. I can't get control of my glycemic index in the way I would like to, you know, like yogurt and fruit for lunch. I imagine eating like that. I'll never do it. A, I'm allergic to dairy, and B, I like a hot lunch. C, I love to pig out and feel sleepy after I eat. If I don't feel sleepy after I eat, I don't feel like I've eaten. It's a conditioned response in me. I was raised this way. Most ethnic boys are raised to feel sleepy after they eat, or they don't feel, or you feel the mother feels like she didn't feed them. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. I don't care what it is. If your mother from my generation didn't make you sleepy after you ate, she felt like she starved you. I swear to God, it was horrible. You ever see the men after a dinner in an ethnic house? The men are sitting with their pants open, rocking on the couches after a big meal, holding them in pain. In pain. They loved it. I mean, that was the mark of a good meal. But the average American today, you go to their house, there's no food there. I don't even want to say where. I went to a wedding. There was no food for 2 hours. Nobody knew what to do. I had to go out for pizza. I'm not kidding you. I'm not making this up. It was elegant. It was perfect. There was not an hors d'oeuvre. Nothing. It was, okay, you could have a drink. They let you have a drink. Now, who could drink on an empty stomach? I ran out in the car, and I went over to a pizzeria. I brought in pizza for a few people. We ate it behind in tuxedos. We weren't getting food. It was a nightmare. Who ever heard a wedding like this without food? I mean, there's a limit to what you can take. Oh, so last night we did visit Don Scungilli. Remember him, if those of you who like Don Scungilli. And he had some opinions. He's an old man now, so kind of be kind to him. Let's listen to Don Scungilli.
This is Grim Hancock with a special report. After years of searching, we have finally located Don Scungilli, living on a farm in Oregon in an undisclosed location. Although he is somewhat infirmed, he's still quite spry for a man in a wheelchair in his 90s. I begin my interview. Don Scungilli, there are many important things happening in the world today, beginning with the question of, what do you think of Sarah Palin scribbling notes on her hands during a rally?
Hands. I know hands well. Hands, we go back to the black hand. But that's not the end of the air. The hand can caress. The hand can kill. You know, the hand is everything. It could pull a trigger. It could stroke a baby's face. But as far as Sarah Palin and the answers on the hand, I'm not shocked. When I first took a look, I saw a truck stop hooking at me. I'm sorry.
Really?
Well, with those relatives of hers, half of them look like they just came out of the can.
Unbelievable. So, Don Scungilli, would you vote for Sarah Palin over Obama?
I vote for anybody over Obama. Anybody's better than him. A lounge lizard's better than him. This guy don't know what he's doing. He don't know whether he's coming or going. He's just some jerk college professor they put in there. It's a front man for the whole Chicago Soros machine. What are you, stupid?
Well, Don Scungilli, let me ask you this. What do you think about the Iranians and their threats, eh?
Oh, that guy with the platform shoes. We had a guy like him in the club on Mulberry Street once. We used him to clean the toilets. What do you mean, what do I think of him? He's made for cleaning toilets. As far as his threats go, what the hell do we have a Navy for? An Army, an Air Force, Marines? Who's holding them back? I never saw such a schmucks in my life. They're nothing but a bunch of political eunuchs with Army uniforms on them running the things.
I couldn't agree more. Well, let me ask you this. What's your take on global warming?
Oh, what a scam, man. I wish we had thought it up a number of years ago. This is better than the slots in Vegas. There's more money in global warming than you could imagine.
Half the damn cream things are owned by my boss. What are you talking about? We got into this early.
All right, hey, you, I'm tired now. I remember you from years ago. You're not a bad guy, but you're a real ball breaker. I got to take a break now. I'm a little tired. Hey, Millie, give him something to eat. We'll come back in a few minutes here with some more of my views of the world.
Well, there you have it. What will happen now? Perhaps there will be a part two. One never knows. Back to you, Michael Savage.
Well, I hope you enjoyed Don. He's a little old and he was coughing and he's a little infirm. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, he's a character that we invented a number of years ago on the Savage Nation to give his views of things. The famous Don Scongeli bit on how he dealt with anger management we did, God, I don't know, three years ago at least. Very popular, very popular. We'll play that a little later so that you can catch up to some of the skits that we've been enjoying here on the Savage Nation all of these years. Let's go to the callers for a moment. In Chicago, Frank, you're up on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Frank, go ahead, please. On with the wind already. All right, New York City, WOR. Richard, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
How you doing, Michael? I had two, since you have an open tonight, I had two possibilities. One, how did you spend your 50 cents allowance growing up in New York?
Yeah.
Or the other one, talk about the Army with my my G2 clearance. I had a question for you there. So you pick.
Well, how did I spend my allowance as a kid? I don't even know if I had an allowance. I think I had to go to work. I must have gotten some, maybe before I worked.
Maybe I shouldn't have said allowance, the money that you earned.
I put it into a bank. I think most of it was banked. I was very frugal. I hardly spent anything because I knew that we had nothing. So whatever I was going to have in life, I had a bank account. Look how a kid in those days would have a bank account and save his money. And today they encourage you not to save your money. They make you feel like an idiot if you put money in the bank. Can you believe the difference today?
Well, maybe
let me see if we understand economics together. When Americans saved money, the economy was booming, the banks paid interest, we ran surplus after surplus. How is it now that the geniuses who are running the government, and this goes back to Clinton's time, have encouraged us not to spend, not to save, but to spend, and they're all running deficit spending and they're going broke? What's that all about?
Well, you're talking about people that are millionaires to begin with, so I don't know how to...
They don't know either. Well, I'm not a poor man, but I still save my money. I could buy things I don't buy. You know, even when I had less money, I didn't spend every dime. People would mortgage their house and buy a Porsche. I never did that. I drove an old Volvo. I never understood why you had to spend every nickel you could get your hands on with a borrowing. This is how the country's been running, Richard, is that way. Is that the country borrows money that they can't afford to buy things that they can't afford, like social programs. And that's why we're broke. New York City, WOR. Steven, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Yes, Mike. I've been dying to talk to you. Everything's a complete mess. Why I listen to you? Because years before I ever heard your name, frustration. And I would say to my wife, I'd say, what is everybody sleeping? I said, everything is going down. Don't anyone see our country is going down the drain?
And it's, yes. Now, and you, by the way, you see the liberals. It started under Bill Clinton. It was Bill Clinton, by the way, I'm sorry to inform you, who flooded America with illegal aliens in order to, one, break the dominance of the white person who was onto him. Number two, to flood America with illegal aliens so that the multicultural agenda could be fulfilled. Number three, to push the liberal agenda because most illegal immigrants vote Democrat. It was a conspiracy of the far left. It was a conspiracy of the far left, first enacted by Bill Clinton, that broke America's back.
Mike, wouldn't you agree, though, because I think we're close in age, wouldn't you agree that I saw this crap going back to my generation? I was a hippie. I went to Thomas Edison Vocational High School, right across the street from Jamaica High School. I mean, I worked hard all my life. My father worked hard all his life. I don't understand what the hell happened to common sense in this country.
Why give money to, what you're saying is, why give money to a deadbeat? Let's start with the basics. You got dirty streets and you give money to bums who make the streets dirty instead of saying clean the streets and maybe we'll give you something. They give them money to throw garbage in the streets.
You don't get it?
It's called liberalism, the mental disorder. You give me 3 months, I could clean up half the problems in the United States of America. If you gave me absolute authority, 3 months, I could clean up most of the problems in this country. I put out program after program after program on this topic. Believe me, I know how to solve problems. But you've got a government that does not want to solve problems. They want to make them worse. I don't care who's running the show, whether it's Republican or Democrat. Why, the Republicans did such a good job for 8 years. What's the point? All right, 1-800-449-8255. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm going to ask you something. I don't watch the Oscars because we know what it is. It's a trade show. How in the world could they use Alec Baldwin to host the Oscars when the man, according to today's newspapers, tried to threaten his own daughter that he would take sleeping pills? They were having a fight. She called 9/11 claiming he had threatened to take pills after they got into a heated fight again. And the 12 a.m. call came in as a possible alcohol or drug overdose call. And the Post says that Alec Baldwin never swallowed sleeping pills and had only threatened to do so. I think it's a publicity stunt. You don't know how sick actors are. You have no idea what narcissism is until you actually encounter these people. Baldwin's spokesmouth said, "This was a misunderstanding on one person's part. Alec was quickly released from the hospital. He's completely fine and will be at work today." Now, why is this a news story? Doesn't it sound like a setup? Who cares what this schmuck does? I don't understand this, the world I'm living in. What's going on in the world? Britain's top fashion designer commits suicide. McQueen. I never heard of him. I'm not into fashion. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Britain's top fashion designer, Alexander McQueen, was found hanged Thursday. You hear? This is a news story. Celebrated designer to the stars was found dead in his luxury million-pound flat in central London's exclusive... A three-bedroom house in Marin County costs £1 million. Exclusive Green Park area. It's so exclusive that a degenerate like him lives in it. Yeah, it's exclusive. Why is it exclusive? McQueen was believed to have become depressed following the death of his beloved mom, Joyce, a week ago. The designer was the son of a London cabbie. He posted a string of worrying posts on his Twitter page, revealing his state of mind. This is the world I'm living in. A mental defective like this? I don't understand this anymore, what news is. But then again, there's a lot I don't understand about the world today, but I have to go on. I go on, and that's the end of it. Where's the guy who predicted an atomic blast today? We have an old clip of Baldwin's phone message attacking his daughter. Remember that one? Look at my horoscope today from Aries by Sally Brompton. Secrets of one kind or another will play a big part in your affairs today. Whether it is you keeping secrets from others or others keeping them from you... There will be plenty of deception going on. Make sure it's not self-deception. What the hell does that mean? I don't understand. There's always secrets going on. And there's always self-deception going on. Do you think we really know who we are? Do you really think you know who you are? I mean, I try to analyze myself since I'm 17. Self-analysis has limits. You know, you can look at your navel only so long and then it's enough already. Who cares? It's boring. You know, it's enough. I want a divorce for myself already. It's been going on too long. Is there any way to get a divorce from yourself after a certain while? You know, I've had this story going on already 50 years already, the same thing. This and that, and you turn into this, and if you did that, you're motivated by that. Oh, my God, who cares? Can't certain things be what they are? I want to emerge from the cocoon of self-doubt. I want to emerge from the cocoon of self-analysis. I want to emerge from the chrysalis of crippling self-analysis. I want to emerge. I want to be. Well, that's the difference. You don't know what I'm talking about. Las Vegas, Jody, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you very much. I wanted to get a hold of you to tell you that it is awesome to have your voice of sanity on the air in this twilight zone of a world we seem to be living in, and I thank you for your logic, your common sense, and being able to see it when it seems like...
So did you have a, did you have a father that you looked up to who's no longer in your life or something?
No, he's in my life. He is, and he's finally come about and is listening to your talk radio show as well these days. He's finally getting it. But,
oh,
no,
he was a lifetime union man?
No, he always had, was very smart. I did look up to him. He's always been my hero. But for a minute there, he was on the Obama bandwagon, and he's finally.
He's come to understand that the king has no clothes, huh?
Oh, my God, it's insane. It's been obvious to me for a long time, and I want to...
Well, Jody, I appreciate you listening in Las Vegas. I still love that city. I haven't been there enough. By the way, my friends in San Francisco, I expect you to call me now at 1-800-449-8255. Captain Phil, Tony D, Emil, Jack S., you're all on. If I don't hear from you within the next 15 minutes, you're never going to hear from me again. I want my friends to call me on my local affiliate, okay? You're all on right now. If you don't, if you didn't hear that message, then you're off my list. And I have a big party coming up, so you're not going to be invited. You're not going to be invited. Isn't it funny in this world that unless you throw a party, you never see it, you don't hear from anybody? But I think nothing's really ever changed. If you want a party, don't expect your friends to throw one for you, no matter what your success is. You got to throw it for yourself and invite them. You can sit there complaining all you want, oh, and give me a party. This, how can they invite me for a drink? That's a movie thing. You look at whoever the person is, they usually throw themselves a party. And that's only if they want publicity. I don't need publicity, so therefore I'm not going to have a party. So Phil, Tony, Emil, and Jack, don't call if you only want to go to a party because I'm not throwing one. Anyway, I'll be back in a few minutes here on the Savage Nation. Be here, please. Otherwise, you'll be nowhere, I guarantee it.
Savage. Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I'm sitting in for myself today. Michael's on vacation. I am... No, I'm a little out of it. I swear to God, I feel as though I'm sitting in for myself because I'm tired. Yeah, sometimes tiredness does hit you. I'll admit it to you. You say, well, why are you on the air? I'm on the air because you can call in and you know what I'm thinking. Basically, I'm thinking most of what you're thinking. That's why you've been listening to me all these years. And I've touched on Iran, I've touched on the lie of global warming, I've talked about the Hollywood idiot Baldwin pulling another publicity stunt with his daughter again, and, you know, how far will they go? I've talked about Bill Clinton with the stents and his real history. I have talked about whatever is on your mind I've touched on here, and if you care to join in, or any topic that we touched on yesterday, we did a John Scungilli visit, for those of you who heard John Scungilli years ago. We'll have another John Scungilli for you in this hour, the original Anger Management with John Scungilli. San Francisco, 860 on the dial. Elsie, the first up in this hour. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind? Elsa, go ahead, please.
I just want to say I'm a first-time caller, and when you were off the air, I was so disappointed because I don't ever listen to, you know, talk radio, and you're the first person that I've, like, enjoyed, and usually people say, well, why don't you just try another guy? And I'm like, because I like him. And he's all like, but why? And I'm like, because he keeps me interested, keeps me wanting to listen to him.
And I answered,
well, I appreciate Elsa. So how'd you find out what station I'm on in San Francisco on 860? How'd you find it? On my website or where?
On the news. It was actually, I was watching the local news early in the morning. It said Michael Savage back on the air. Have the date. So I quickly went to
They actually did a nice write-up. Benjamin Fong Torres did a nice write-up in the pink section this last weekend in the Chronicle. I want to thank him for that. Yeah. I was very surprised that they actually wrote something decent and real about me instead of inventing who I'm not, you know. Elsa, you're getting a free copy of Banned in Britain for calling the show. Thank you very much. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Should you still be driving your Toyota? Will a liberal give up the Prius no matter what? I mean, the accelerators stick, even in a Prius, I think. Think about that one. I mean, sometimes fate intervenes and tries to cull the herd, but with the recalls, I don't think... no, fate does intervene. Even with a mechanical thing, there's an intervention here with fate. Fate try to cull the herd. I mean, look at this. The recall is on a Toyota Prius, no less. You know who they are. I don't think there's a Prius driver in America who voted for anyone other than Karl Marx in their entire life. I mean, a Karl Marx-like personality. You know, if Karl Marx ran in San Francisco, he'd be mayor overnight. There's no question about it. Take a look at what we have as a result of the crazy politics here. But it's beautiful. Gorgeous day. Well, the sun is gone already. Cruise ships, no one in harbor. All of the holiday goers are down in the... Where are they going this time of year? What month is this? It's not Alaska cruises in February. Where do they go when they come through a port? Oh, the Panama Canal. Very exciting. Very exciting to be stuck on a ship with 1,000 people you never wanted to meet. 1,000 drunks in the elevator in the common areas. You know, I can't. You can't even walk on a cruise ship. I used to go on a ship to get away from people. It as I said to you, it's let's let it go. It's like a hotel with propellers. It is a horizontal hotel with propellers today. But if you never, did it, it's you know, you go on, you put on airs, you make believe you're rich and famous. You know, everyone's rich and famous. But it is when you're young. Kids like it. It's nice to take a kid on a cruise, but you're a caretaker for the whole 5 to 10 days. You and the children. Can you imagine having to be with your children for 4 meals a day and worry about them not falling over? I remember when the kids were young, I used to go on a lot of cruises. I went on some of the great liners before they became cruise ships. They were actually passenger liners, and they went point to point as transport vehicles. There was no music, for example, played on the walking decks. You could actually go for a walk in the middle of the night and see the sea, hear the sea, and hear the sloshing of the water against the hull. There was no Muzak to drive you back into the gambling casino. That's, there was a different story. So I would get the kids out of school, and I would lecture on the ships as an anthropologist, the young anthropologist. I wasn't so young. I went back to graduate school rather late. Take them out of school. I'd get them a first-class cabin. I have a first-class cabin. It was a lot of fun. But I'll never forget, as long as I live, true story, of course, we were leaving Long Beach Harbor on a 10 or 15-day trip to Tahiti. They had to stop the ship and turn it around because one of my children went missing. Within 30 minutes of leaving the port, one of my kids went missing. It was horrible. We didn't know what happened. Did they fall overboard? No, they were playing in some deck. Nobody could find them. So that set things off, let's say, in a negative way between myself and the ship's personnel for the next 10 days. It was not a very nice relationship. In fact, when we reached one of the islands, it got so bad that I said, look, you better get a helicopter to take me off the ship because I'm not going to put up with this hatred. All because a kid disappeared for about 30 minutes. You know, what do you want from me? They're children. So there are, things you can have a good time on a ship, but you have to be very careful with children. What would you like to talk about? Never mind my true stories. Let's talk about the horrible, terrible things in the world so you can keep listening. Terrible. You talk about nice things, nobody wants to listen. You talk about positive things, everyone turns the show off. The minute you tell them the sky is falling and, well, we have the news for you tonight at NBC. Iran has threatened to blow up nothing, and the sky is falling. The global warming has turned out to be total bullcrap, but we'll keep feeding you that crap because we know you'll take it since you have nowhere else to go. I'm Brian Nobody on ABC. What would you like to talk about? I don't know. I'm not into this today. History you want? Diana, San Diego, welcome to the show. You're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Uncle Michael Savage, thank you so much. I just wanted to show my appreciation for your, no one does chronicles of history like you do. And I love all
I have
stories.
Not done history in many a month. That is true.
Well, even so, I've never been able to get through, and I'm an avid listener. And
so, if you had your dream wish and you could have dinner with Michael Savage, what phase of history would you like me to talk about?
Well, I'm a daughter of the American Revolution.
Ooh, don't tell anybody in San Diego.
No, I'm very proud of that. I don't censor myself.
No,
that.
I know the DAR. It's a great group. I personally have a DAR in my family. Wonderful people. The bedrock of America.
I guess I would ancient history with the Greeks because it's part of my lineage along with the Native Americans. And, going into...
How about really killing the audience with the discussion of the Peloponnesian War?
Yes, and that's where my grandfather
was. Now, I could really drive the audience to sleep. Let's have a long discussion about the Peloponnesian War and its influence on Barack Hussein Obama. Diana, you're a good sport. Thank you for calling the program. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Lance in San Francisco. You're on the Savage Nation from 860 on the dial. What's on your mind, Lance?
May I call you Dr. Infidel today?
Yes, whatever you want, as long as it's nice.
Okay, well, is Dr. Infidel banned in Iran? I don't think so.
I don't know. What did he do today? Only killed a few hundred of the Iranians, arrested a few hundred, and killed a few dozen?
Something like that. Dr. Savage, could you please get through to John Squangeli again? I think that a message of hope for the Iranian democracy seekers should be brought to them from Don Squangeli.
If Don Scongeli was our defense secretary, I can guarantee you the next time this little bastard stood up on a platform and threatened the West, they would launch a missile at him, and in the middle of his speech, he'd be atomized with 30 mullahs who don't belong on the planet either.
Straightforward action, Dr. Savage.
How's that? How's that for an answer? Is that a good solution to the problem?
Well, Don Scongeli is...
Why don't they just atomize the entire mullah contingent the next time they jump up and down screaming, we'll bury you? Just eliminate them. What do they need permission for? What, are we sitting waiting for them to launch one at us?
Well,
I don't understand what a military is for. I used to be a gung-ho, give them whatever they want. We need weapon systems. I know there's excess and thievery, but I believe in a strong military. I have become totally jaundiced on the U.S. military. How do you like that? I support the troops. I give money to the troops when they're persecuted for no reason. But when I see the rotten political eunuchs that are running the military today, I get very, very, very upset with the kind of money they're raping us for and not using the weapon system. What good is it all? There needs to be a revolution on the right against the military to straighten them out. How do you like that? The left has been anti-war because they hate America. But when the right wing says enough is enough, you're not getting any money until you use the weapons you have, then maybe these old bastards will start using the weapons they have. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back. Is the Savage Nation. There's no news for their reporting on Alec Baldwin's fake suicide attempt in order to gin up some support for the Oscars. The New York Post is showing John Travolta's hair weave. Well, we could talk about Obamanomics if you'd like. I mean, about his failed economic policies, but I think we pretty much know that everything he touches turns to dross. New York City, WOR. Benjamin, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Michael. How are you? Nice to get on your show. I was thinking last hour you brought up self-introspection, why you're not so into it. I don't know. To me, it seems like that's the purpose. That's the purpose, to perfect yourself to some extent and not just throw things away.
That's right. In other words, how do you perfect yourself unless you're a self-critic is what you're saying? You can't stop looking at what you're doing, right? You have to keep looking, but up to a certain point only. I mean, it can cripple you also. You know how many people are crippled by self-doubt? Which is a product of self-improvement?
Right. It has to come from confidence. It has to come from trying to do better. Not. If you're a critic, too much of a critic, it's not good either.
Well, it's a tough thing to figure out, actually, for a young person. you realize a child when they're born, you want to get into the child thing. I mean, I can do it for a minute. But let's talk about an infant. What does an infant know? Absolutely nothing. They have a few instincts, but not many. They'll put their hand in a fire unless you tell them not to. Isn't that correct? Okay, so, you know, I'm going to play like Plato with you now. Virtually everything a child knows is taught to them. They know nothing. And yet you look at the liberal view of a child, they talk to them like they know everything, like they're a genius. They have to be taught everything, including how to wipe their behind. They wouldn't know how to eat food unless you teach them how to eat food. They don't know how to wipe their behind unless you teach them how to wipe their behind, let alone stick their hand into a fire. So how can you ask a child what they think or what they know? You have to teach a child. That's what school is for. At least that's what school used to be for, until I turned it into social pollution. So then the parents have to have the job. Don't have a child unless you're ready to spend 24/7 until you go in the box on your child. Let me tell you that. It doesn't end when they're 15, 16, 17, 18. They may be perfectly fine adults, but I can guarantee you, you're going to have an opinion about them, just as they have an opinion about you at a certain point, and they want to become your parent. So what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is, in order for a child to develop into a decent human being, the parent must impose certain restrictions on them. You can call them values if you wish. I would call them restrictions. And that is where the differential between a conservative and a liberal begins within the child-rearing situation. What kind of restrictions should you impose upon a child? What should you not impose upon a child? How much freedom can you give a child? These are tough questions, and I think that each culture has answers, each society has answers, each family has answers. I don't think you can generalize. Do you, Benjamin?
No, you know, of course not. You know, different people have different values, but that idea that trying to get to a certain place, that you're capable of certain things and certain talents, certain abilities, that not to give up, but you have to self-analyze. You have to look
at. Well, but at what point does a man say enough is enough? I'm sick of self-perfection. You know, and self-improvement. I mean, do you keep improving yourself till you're ready to die?
Hey, when it gets to doubt, you can't get down on yourself. You get down, you're done. But as long as you have the confidence, and if you know that, yeah, you're aspiring to something, that you really have certain real.
Well, my mother used to say you always have to. A person has to have something to look forward to. Let's put it to you that way. You take hope away from a person, you're going to turn them into a criminal or a total depressive. A person must have hope. You know, I'm using a loaded word here. Look what Obama did with the big lie of hope. He took all of the disenfranchised people in America, and he gave them the false promise of hope and change, and look what he gave them. The same old, only worse. A less transparent government. A more profligate spending government. You name it, he did it. He did the opposite, because he's only a politician. Thank you for the call. That's neither here nor there. West Virginia. Paul, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Oh, it's such an honor to talk to you, Michael. I would just love for you to tell more stories of your past on your show, because I tell you what, I'm of the same age as you are, and it reminds me of when life was a hell of a lot better than what it is nowadays.
Let me ask you something, though. Where did you grow up? You didn't grow up where I did.
No, sir. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio.
But, you know, what is the commonality between Michael Savage, talk show host, and so many millions of Americans who, some of whom don't even like my politics, but they all love my family stories, my childhood stories? Why? What do they like about that?
It reminds us of our past. It reminds us of better times. Times were a lot better then than they are now, I think. We have all this information technology and all this garbage and all these toys and cell phones and all this crap that nobody really needs. And it doesn't make our lives better. It just makes them worse.
Well, I don't know. Does it or does it not? I mean, I don't know how I'd live without a cell phone and a computer. Truthfully, I thought about it today. Wherever I go to the toilet, there's the cell phone. I take a shower, I put it on a shelf. It's crazy. The whole thing's obsessive. I mean, I don't know why it's there. I mean, what am I expecting? A call from who? God's going to call. Any second, I expect a call from God. Hello? It's God, Michael. I'm in the shower. Can I call you back? I mean, why am I carrying the cell phone everywhere I go? It's like a dog with a bone. I think the cell phone is the human bone. I mean, we carry this thing around the way a dog does. And the things people talk about, is it really that important? You know, it's funny in its own way.
Savage.
This is Graham Hancock on special report from Michael Savage in Hollywood, California, visiting with John Squintili, the reputed mastermind of the film industry. In a rare interview, Mr. Squintili has agreed to talk to us about anger management and how he is attempting to get control over the out-of-control, insane liberals ruling Hollywood today. Mr. Squintili, thank you very much for agreeing to do this interview.
What do you mean agreeing to an interview? Who the hell are you? I didn't agree to anything. What do you mean agree? Who is this guy? How did he get in here?
Mr. Squintili, I'm Graham Hancock. I'm on special assignment.
There's girls in here. Don't use such dirty words.
I'm sorry, sir, but the Savage Nation is interested to know how you are going to get control over the hippie pinko weirdos here in Hollywood, California.
Oh, that problem. Yeah, we got a big problem. It's killing the business. We had a good thing going here for 80, 70, 80 years. And these nuts, these potheads.
Really?
These perverts, they went nuts here. They ruined a good thing with this attacking the president, attacking the war. We don't know what to do with them.
Mr. Squintili, we understand that you've initiated a anger management program to help them deal with some of these vitriolic attacks on our military and president. How do you make this anger management program work?
Anger management, in my day, anger management came out the barrel of a gun. But those days are over. The only anger manager we had was a Smith & Wesson.
I'm shocked.
A 32. It was the best anger management tool ever invented.
Mr. Squintili, you're saying that you use guns to control people?
Well, what do you think I'm saying, moron? I'm going to spell it out for you.
Well, what other tools did you use, Mr. Squintili?
Other tools? Truncheons, fists, brass knuckles, meat hooks, car bumpers, whatever. Those days are over. We're talking a long time ago. Now everything's nice. Got to be with the psychology. What we use it today is a special kind of anger management.
I see.
If they like boys, we give them boys in a motel room down in Palm Springs for 5 days in a row. They like girls, we put them in a motel room with the girl 5 days.
Oh.
End of the 5 days, if their anger isn't subdued, not all. We don't know what to do.
So, Mr. Squintili, how do you feel about someone like Susan Sarandon, who seems to have complete contempt for the military and our president? How does she still get to be in high-profile movies?
How? Because everyone there thinks the same way she does. Anyone who thinks different doesn't work there. That's how. What do you mean, how? It ain't hard to figure out. It's all controlled by whack job liberals.
Really?
What do you think, I like him? I don't like him, honey. You think I like the hookers that I got in my cat houses? I don't like him either. You work with who you have to work with. I'd do a deal with the devil if I had to.
So, Mr. Squintili, what do you think of someone like Alec Baldwin is saying that he was going to leave America if Bush was elected and then staying?
A phony through and through. He plays tough guys. Let me tell you something. He's a fraud. I think he's lighting the loafers, if you know what I mean.
I understand, Mr. Squintili, that you know Goldie Hawn. Now, what is your take on her?
She had the better laugh, so she became a big lefty. The lower the is, the higher the liberal thing. I don't know where to relate. I don't understand it. What a she had. My own, you couldn't eat when you saw it.
And what about Richard Gere? I understand people are not too fond of him. What do you attribute that to?
One word. Furry creatures.
Now, Mr. Squintili, what do you think about the actor Dustin Hoffman? I've heard you refer to him as Ratso Rizzo. What do you think about him?
What do all these little Jews want to play a gangster for? What, they got a complex? Who they think they are? Bugsy Siegel, every one of them. Every one of them on the 5'5 wants to play a wise guy. What's with them?
How do you feel about the actor Richard Dreyfuss, eh?
Dreyfuss? I think his father ran a seltzer route in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bottle don't fall far from the truck.
I understand that Woody Allen is over in France pandering to them. What do you think about that?
Woody Allen, I think the father ran a bagel store in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bagel don't bounce far from the cart.
Yes, and finally, Mr. Squintili, what do you think about the actor Tim Robbins, eh?
Tim Robbins, another one. His father owned a candy store in Brooklyn. And let me tell you something. The bar don't fall far from the wrapper.
So, Mr. Squintili, how do you personally control your anger towards all of these crazy people?
Hey, who gave you the right to ask me anything, you little schmuck? I ain't got no anger. Not anger with me. It's a nature. It's a nature.
I see.
Who the hell do you think you are, you rat bitch? You...
Shocking! So, Mr. Squintili, in summary, if all of your anger management techniques don't work, what are you going to do?
Teach that's what we're going to do. Send them to Harvard. They can all take a job teaching at Harvard or Berkeley. Let them go to hell, all of them.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My exclusive interview with John Scungili from Hollywood, California.
I'll tell you, it's good because I was laughing during some of those lines. They were funny. I mean, that was done when Bush was president. It's very funny. I played it because we played the new Scungili. I couldn't grab the voice quite the same way. One of my regular listeners said that the new Scungili sounded like who? Who did she say he sounded like? Christopher Walken, the new Scungili. He became a little softer in the wheelchair. All right, let's go to the callers. Who's the best caller out there? There's a lot of nice callers. Thank you for supporting Iran. New York City, Joe. Christy, San Francisco, 860. Go ahead. What's on your mind, Christy? What's on your mind? What's in your mind?
Hi,
what's in your mind?
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to thank you for giving me the backbone that I need when I listen to you every day. You have
the backbone, you mean, to express your own political views surrounded by the constraints of uber-liberalism in the Bay Area where you're not allowed to mention a thought that disagrees?
Are you kidding? I work for the state of California at a hospital, and I am proud to express my political views now, but I'm telling you a year ago...
You should be. That's right. You should tell them that it's a new world. After Massachusetts, you know, they don't own all the ideas in the country. And, you know, I have seen a big change in people. They're actually standing up and speaking out since Brown won in Massachusetts. They become emboldened. People are not... The Tea Party movement, the town hall meetings, Brown's victory, New Jersey, Virginia, Obama's lies... The fact of the matter is the conservatives are on the move in this country, and they're starting to stand up and speak out. They're not as intimidated as they were as near as 6 months ago.
And I owe that to you. My husband turned me on to listening to you, and my life has changed. In fact, I have...
Are you have a better marriage now because you're both agreeing with each other?
Totally. And we're not caught up on this stupid crap that doesn't matter. It's about the real issues in life. And I actually have a personal question for you, and I was hoping... I just want to hear your opinion. We have a 3-year-old, and we also have a 19-year-old that we put through the public school system. And I am afraid to put our 3-year-old, when she's ready for kindergarten, into the public schools because of all these liberal teachers warping the brains of children. And
they are. I bicycle by an elementary school, and I look in and I say to myself, what are they teaching these children? What are they putting in their heads? I don't really know what the curriculum is anymore. I know that the children are off too often. Every other week, there's a holiday. They're out playing in the schoolyard. They're with the parents in the mall. How in the hell are these children ever going to hold a job, I ask myself? If every other day there's a teacher holiday or a special meeting for this or an affirmative action that, what are they doing that the children are out of school so much? How could they ever go and hold a job 5 days a week if they don't have to go to school 5 days a week, I ask myself? You know, so that's one. First of all, the kids don't go to school enough, as far as I'm concerned. It should be 11 months a year. That's number one. There should be far fewer holidays. That's number two. And you should leave half of the social programs that they teach out of the school. Teach them the basics. Reading, writing, arithmetic, computer literacy, 2 foreign languages, etc. Even penmanship. They don't even know how to write their own name but with a pen, but... To answer your question, it's an interesting one. If I had young children today, what if I didn't have the money to send them to a private school? Now, is a private school any better? Do you think that private schools don't brainwash the children with liberalism? I have friends who send kids to Catholic schools. They tell me the nuns now have become so liberal that they're not even getting the education they want out of a Catholic school anymore.
That's scary because our 19-year-old went... through halfway through Catholic school, and then we had to send her to public school.
Yes, but today they're filling up the same left-wing rubbish in Catholic schools. So it's a gigantic problem. Even though the society is moving to the center and to the right, and every poll shows that most Americans are conservative, not liberal, the schools are 20 years behind the times, and they're going to take a long time to catch up with the American people. So I don't know, people homeschool? I couldn't do it because I had to work for a living, and there's no way I could have done that. I think what you have to do is you have to send your child to public school, and I think you have to tell them before they go, after they go, you have to ask them what they learned that day. And you almost have to undo the brainwashing on a daily basis over dinner. That's another way. And if it gets too bad, you send letters or you go to the school and talk to them and tell them, I will not tolerate this kind of teaching. You're not going to get away with it. I'm going to sue you if you keep it up. If enough parents did that, we could change the schools in 2 years.
So,
thanks for the call. That's all. No, it's a simple program I gave you on schooling. Let's go across the nation to New York City, WOR Joe. You are on the Savage Nation. How are you enjoying the blizzard, Joe?
Dr. Savage, it's an honor. Right now, I live about 2 inches from the Verrazano Bridge, and I can't even see it. That's a
what you mean? It's a whiteout looking at the beautiful bridge?
Yesterday, Doctor.
Oh, I used to love Joe. I used to love those days, locked in with family, you know, food on the stove. You know, you can't go out. There's no need to even think about it. Isn't it a nice feeling in a way? Once in a while.
You're right, Doctor. And I reminisce it. We should put the orange peels on the radiators. I remember my grandmother, rest in peace. We should have the scent of the orange through the house.
She'd put what on the radiator? What? I'm sorry, I missed that.
Sorry, Doctor. She used to put orange peels on the radiator, and it used to give, like, a scent through the house, an orange scent.
Oh, isn't that interesting? See, yeah. They had little tricks. They didn't have to go to the store for poison chemicals with essence of orange that poisoned the children and gave the dog a cancer.
Right.
They didn't have to buy an orange essence in a drugstore that was a poison chemical made in China with melanin in the ceramics. They put an orange peel. How could they figure out to put an orange peel? Well, how about going down the street and getting a pine bough and putting it on the radiator?
Right, Doctor, to make you sick so they can make money off you, Doctor.
I don't know what it is. I don't even know if it's that conspiratorial. I just think that it's a lack of common sense, frankly, Joe.
Yes, Doctor, I would think so. I'm just calling. I admire you, Doctor. I grew up with no education. I got education from you. I'm a Christian conservative. I do not watch HBO, all the folk from Hollywood. And when you refer to liberals as vermin, I got a new word for you, Doctor, if you could use. They're garbage cans. I call them garbage cans.
Well, you could call anyone a name. People don't even know what vermin refers to. It refers to worms. They're like worms to me. Most of them are like worms, and yet we're all frightened of all of these crawly, creepy things because they scare us. Thank you for the call, 1-800-449-8255. We don't have to call them names. Let me do it. Let me do it for you. We're not going to get anywhere. Frankly, they have imploded. Their entire movement has imploded, incidentally. You know, it's interesting to me, and I don't want to make too much out of this. Massachusetts, Kennedy dies, Brown takes his seat, a conservative Republican wins in Massachusetts. That was a tsunami or an earthquake, right? A political earthquake. Now, Bill Clinton, I hope he recovers. I hope he's not in pain. I hope he does well. Is hospitalized today with chest pains, has two stents inserted into a coronary artery. The man is slowing down. His lifestyle is going to change. It has to change. He can't keep leading the Hollywood lifestyle that he's been enjoying. He's going to have to become a different man. It seems to me many of the lions of the liberal movement have basically been moved over to the side here by fate. I believe that this is, in a certain way, I don't know the correct word to use. I mean, for me to be lost for words is an embarrassment. I see a trend occurring on a mega level here. Kennedy is gone. Clinton's going to be moved aside. Who's left, really, to carry the flag for the left? Nobody believes the schmucks in the media. Nobody believes them. They're shills for the interest that put them in there. They're laughable. Most people laugh them away. The people have spoken. The people's murmurs are going to become a roar by October. And I truly believe that America is going to go through a conservative awakening unlike any seen in American history. I feel it. We all feel it. And you don't have to be a genius to understand what's going on. Take a look at the bestseller list. One conservative book after another. What is every conservative a moron? They don't buy books. They can't read. You're going to believe everything that the people in the media tell you? Only they can write a book and only they can read a book? No, the conservative movement is on a roll right now. The problem is it's going to be co-opted by the very same people who brought us Barack Hussein Obama, and that would be the McCain camp of check pants Republicans. So that's what you have to look out for. Look for the real conservatives out there. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation. So the Hitler of Iran was all bluster, except for his own innocent, unarmed civilians. Iran's Hitler today declared we're a nuclear state. Remember, he said he would slap us on Thursday. Well, his Thursday, it came and went. They threw stones at some embassies, and they unfortunately beat up, arrested, raped, and murdered their own people, and there's no report in the news over that. Yet Iran has a huge opposition movement chanting death to the dictator as cars honk their horns in support. It's from the Wall Street Journal. And you can see that up on michaelsavage.com. Bill Clinton rushed to New York City Hospital for another couple of stents. Obama agnostic on middle-class tax hike, whatever that means. A strike in Greece shuts schools and grounds flight. That's because the government debt crisis is so bad in Greece that they're asking the European Union to bail them out. And it's strange to believe that we are very much like Greece in a sense of a nation that has spent itself into oblivion. Biden says that Iraq is one of Obama's great achievements. I don't know what he means by that. In a new poll from Gallup, Obama is tied with a nameless Republican. Among independent voters, 45% would back a Republican, no name, and only 31% would favor the imposter. Illegal alien gets 15 years for baby girl's death. Ah, awful. Food stamps find a new acceptance, says the New York Times. Now people are proud to admit that they use food stamps. You ever see them drive up in a Mercedes for food stamps? Ask some poor people. These are all up on michaelsavage.com. Here's another one you may have missed. Won't make it to your local paper. Indian tribes get $1 billion in stimulus funds. Oh, yes. Your president is going to give $1 billion to 76 American Indian tribes across the country. $1 billion in economic stimulus money to help create jobs on Indian reservations. This is after the casinos now. That's not enough for them. You hear? All up on michaelsavage.com and many other stories that I don't, you know, care to touch on right now. The news is pretty grim out there. The corruption, the lack of transparency, the lobbying, everything that they said they wouldn't do, they did, you know? Everything they said. Seattle, Steve, quickly, you're up on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I'm calling you to tell you that in the Seattle area, you are greatly appreciated. And I'd like to tell you how I first became aware of your program.
Well, I'm greatly depreciated? Wait, you said I'm greatly depreciated by the liberals?
No. Listen, in Seattle, it's very interesting. I became aware of your program several years ago. I'm in the automotive business. I was in and out of different cars all day. I started finding people that had your program on. I'd never heard of you. I'd start their car up, take it around the block, put a value on it. I'm in the car business.
Uh-huh.
Some of these people were way out in left field. Some of them were black, white, rich, poor. I mean, it just cut straight across all economic and ethnic lines. And I thought, what is it with this guy? There's a lot of these people generally, you know, you wouldn't think from such diverse backgrounds.
Right, exactly. No, I know in San Francisco, for example, look, it's basically a liberal city, and yet my audience is certainly not all conservatives here. The liberals missed me the few months I was off the air. And they miss me not only because I become a fixture after 15 years in the market, but in a certain strange way, I kind of resonate with what they actually believe in some areas, and they can't admit it to themselves.
I've determined that it's, you know, it's an overused sort of term, but it's common sense radio. I mean, these people are...
Well, I know it's a cliche, but let's hope that it goes beyond the cliche and we take the country back from this mad dash toward socialism. And thank you very much for that commentary. There's another big hour coming up on the Savage Nation. Clinton undergoes surgery, chest stents, two stents inserted into a coronary artery. We wish him a speedy recovery, despite Whitewater, Travelgate, Billinggate, Cattlegate, Filegate, Golfgate, Indonesiagate, Vince Foster, and the Lewinsky scandal. We wish him the best. We hope he recovers quickly and he suffers no pain whatsoever. In fact, by comparison, these were all minor scandals compared to what's going on today.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Hey, Well, you know, the biggest news of the day is not that Iran nuked anyone because they were just bull crapping as usual. Typical for the man in the gray flannel platform heels from Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, did nothing. Well, other than raping and killing maybe a few dozen or a few hundred Iranians, but that doesn't matter to liberals in the media. After all, true pro-democracy protesters are not people to them. Only those who have a grievance, a legitimate socialist, communist grievance, are legitimate protesters to the vermin in the media. So we won't talk about that. The snow blanketing the East Coast is said to be caused by global warming. This is incredible. Beyond comprehension, the level of scientific illiteracy has never been higher in the media. Never. Bill Clinton is hospitalized in New York City. Apparently, he underwent a procedure to place two stents in one of his coronary arteries. We wish Bill Clinton the best, and we hope he has a speedy recovery. I do know that we cannot glorify any politician, especially him. The fact of the matter is the man has a very, extremely checkered history as president. And you know and I know that as time goes on, all of these bumps and warts tend to get airbrushed away by the liberal media. Mr. Clinton underwent a quadruple coronary artery bypass operation in September of 2004. He had the surgery after experiencing mild chest pain and shortness of breath days before that. And so, as I say, while we wish Mr. Clinton a speedy recovery without any pain, let's not permit the left-wingers in the media to obliterate the man's true record. Remember Chinagate? Remember selling all of those sensitive secrets to China that happened under his administration? Climategate's very important today, but there were an awful lot of gates that were opened under Bill and Hillary Clinton that must never be forgotten by history. Unfortunately, most historians are liberals, and so these will be forgotten. Anyway, we hope that he recovers very well and very quickly. Those are some of the items floating around in the Savage Nation. Truthfully, they're very interesting. Iran's Hitler declared, "We're a nuclear state. We're a nuclear straight. We need a nuclear straitjacket." Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, spoke as tens of thousands of Iranian stooges were sent to the streets to mark the 31st anniversary of the throwback Islamic Revolution, where women lost almost all of their rights and the country was thrown back 300 years. The throwbacks were marching in the streets of Iran, enthralled by the dictator in elevator shoes. The Hitler of Iran told the world they're going to become capable of making a nuclear bomb. And what did Obama do? What did anyone in the Western powers do? Nothing. They appeased, then appeased until it was too late. Too late, Hitler invaded the Rhineland, then Austria, then Czechoslovakia and Poland, and then the West tried to stop him. What do you think will have to happen before our so-called leaders act to stop the Hitler of Iran? Whether you know it or not, history is actually repeating itself. Repeating, repeating, repeating itself. Other stories from MichaelSavage.com are very interesting. That's up there, by the way. U.S. economy of any importance to you? The trade gap has unexpectedly risen on imports. Oh, yeah. U.S. trade deficit unexpectedly widened, Mr. Obama, in December as imports rose faster than exports, whatever that means. Not one word from Obama. And there's some other things you got to look at. Bill Clinton, as we say, rushed to New York City Hospital. Oh, yes, the Iranians attacked with rocks and eggs, the French, the Dutch, and other embassies. Those would be the pro-government militiamen in civilian dress. Hurled rocks and eggs at the embassy, shouting death to their respective leaders. Michelle Obama, we have to not let that one go by, says obesity is a big threat to our national security. Okay, I'll let that one go. How Labour Party opened their borders in England in a plot to make multicultural UK. Take a look at London today. It looks like a third world city. They call it Londonistan. Pakistanis and others flooding the streets, the majority of whom occupy the welfare rolls with large families. It came out the other day that this was caused not by accident, but by a secret agenda under Tony Blair when a former Blair advisor said that the aim of flooding England with third worlders was to rub the right's nose in diversity and render their arguments out of date. Does that sound familiar to all of you out there in the tea parties? It should. Oh, yeah, it's unbelievable. Hindu wins right to traditional cremation, London. A Hindu spiritual leader has won the right to be cremated on a traditional funeral pyre, paving the way for thousands of fellow Hindus to follow suit. No comment.
Sounds better than Jack Nicholson's approach anyway.
I guess. Deadliest catch captain dies. Phil Harris, the fishing boat captain whose adventures off the Alaska coast were captured on the television show Deadliest Catch, has died after suffering what his family described as a massive stroke. Amazing photo on my website of primates dancing with each other. You got to look at these monkeys dancing with each other in the forest clearings that they have made on the dance floor. They're actually dancing. And for those of you who are interested in such things as real heroes being persecuted by the administration, a new letter has been posted from Michael Behana's mother. He is the Army Ranger suffering at Fort Leavenworth owing to the false charges brought upon him by the U.S. Army. Send them a letter. Send them a donation. That's all up on michaelsavage.com. Stretch military halts cleanup of Florida tire reef. You hear this? Military divers are being pulled off of a project to clean up an artificial reef off the coast of Florida in West Palm Beach that turned into an environmental disaster. The U.S. military divers have spent the last three summers pulling up thousands of tires a mile off the beach at Fort Lauderdale. Hundreds of thousands were sunk there in 1972 in hopes they would turn into a coral reef. Well, this is not really a job for the military, as you well know. Why are we using them to bail out Florida from an environmental wacko mistake? Who signed off on the dumping of the tires anyway? Well, anyway, there's the story for you right there. It's up on michaelsavage.com, as well as many, many other stories.
Savage.
You know, one of the reasons the mainstream media ignores Michael Savage, despite my phenomenal audience, is my New York accent. That's right. The liberal elites think my voice sounds too working class and beneath them. Now, how can the smart people understand you if you don't have a fake Harvard accent? In a recent article in the New York Post, Sheila McClear took a look into why the New York accent is fading away. It's an interesting article, and she joins us now to talk about it. Sheila McClear, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael. Thanks for having me on today.
I'm glad you wrote the article, but why did you?
Well, I've always loved listening to accents. I'm a Midwesterner, so I think the New York accent is more novel to me, but I saw A View from the Bridge, which just opened on Broadway and was revived, and they had incredibly thick Brooklyn accents, and I realized that I didn't hear that as much in the streets of New York except amongst older people. So I just wanted to understand where it was going, if it was dying out, and it actually is becoming less common, and those features are falling out of favor.
Well, why do you think that is?
Well, from the linguists that I spoke with, one of the main reasons is population change, especially in Manhattan. The accents are stronger in the boroughs, but Manhattan has had the biggest influx of population change. And when people move from other areas of the country, which they mostly do to Manhattan more than Brooklyn or Staten Island, new arrivals don't tend to pick up an accent. And their presence also tends to neutralize accents in the younger generation. For example, a linguist called Kara Becker is doing field study on the Lower East Side, and she found that younger people whose families have lived on the Lower East Side for generations and whose parents and grandparents have the accent, they aren't picking up the accent. Population change is one of the reasons, because one theory is that they are not as around as many people with accent. But the other is class consciousness. Some people, like, keep the accent for reasons of self-identity, because they're proud to be New Yorkers, they're proud to be from Brooklyn or Queens, they're proud to have grown up here. Others, there's sort of an unfair class bias against that people think it's too working class. Parents dissuade their kids from talking like that in some cases. And even in the 60s, Queens College made you take a speech test in order to graduate, in which case the features of the New York dialect would work against you.
It seems that when many families move away from New York City, the kids don't pick up the accent, even though their parent may still have one. You know what I mean?
Right. Kids develop their accents between 8 and 14, and it generally doesn't change after that unless you're deliberately trying to lose it. They might not pick it up just because they don't hear it around them as much, or they might not pick it up as a rebellion, like they don't want to talk like their parents or their grandparents. Or their parents or grandparents, a lot of New Yorkers can be very self-conscious about their accent just because it is a working-class accent, and it always has been. So if they're identifying as, like, you know, moving out of the neighborhood, or maybe they want to do something else, or it's almost a form of rebellion not to talk like that. And some of it's just unconscious. You don't hear it, or you're dissuaded from it, and you just don't pick it up. And it's also... all the linguists I talked to also said, ultimately, even though there are all these theories about why you do or don't pick up or lose your accent, ultimately, dialect change is just such a mysterious thing. There's not one major thing. It's a constellation of different factors. And the way language and dialect and accents have changed has always been involved so many things, and it's almost... you know, you leave something alone and it almost develops on its own.
Sheila, do you see the New York accent disappearing completely?
The place where it's dying the most is Manhattan, and that is mostly because of the population change, the influx not only of people from outside the city, like the Midwest, but also because there are more non-English-speaking people than there used to be, so obviously they're not going to have the accent. But from the people I talk to, the linguists, it seems to be stronger in the outer boroughs, Brooklyn, Queens, and apparently the place where the accent is most alive is Staten Island, which is interesting, but it makes sense because it's a little bit isolated because it, you know, you just have a bridge, and it also has the most stable New York population. Not a lot of people move to Staten Island from outside the state. They more likely move to Manhattan or parts of gentrified Brooklyn. And also because they have a large concentration of the types of people who have the New York accent. Basically, whenever you have white people who are from European descent, Jews, Italians, Irish, Germans, etc., whose origins are in the city, that those are the people who have the accent. Those are the people that live in Staten Island. And the isolation and the stable population works in their favor. So that's what you'll hear it the most. You'll even hear certain features that have died out everywhere else. Like instead of saying you guys, a lot of Staten Islanders say yes, which used to be all over the place. It's died out pretty much everywhere else. Staten Island is really an interesting place where it's the strongest. And that's why. And where the population is more in flux, like Manhattan, and parts of Brooklyn that are gentrified, like Brooklyn Heights or Park Slope, where you're getting a lot of outsiders, that's where it's fading away the most.
Sheila McClear, thanks for making it clear that my New York accent is actually derived from Britain. It's actually a very British accent. And thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on.
What did I want to tell you that's new on a personal level? I went to a farmer's market with Teddy. Even though it says no dogs allowed, no one said anything. I don't understand. It's an outdoor farmer's market. What do you mean no dogs allowed? Another California catch-22 law. I mean, you know, I didn't say anything. So anyway, it was a little rainy, cold. So there's a guy, a poor guy, feel bad for these people, mainly the immigrants, because the liberals all eat for nothing. I swear to God, you see these white-haired Obama voters go, they go stall to stall. Oh, yeah, I'll try that. That's very good. Can I have a little more? I feel like slapping it out of their hands. I have to control myself. I can't stand taking advantage like that of poor people. I hate it. They don't buy anything. They go to the Indian and they take his roti for nothing. They go to the African and they take the shea butter for nothing. Everything these cheap bastards can get for nothing, they take. And then I'm an Obama voter. Yeah, I'm all for the people, you rotten bums, you. I live in a county filled with the biggest phonies on earth. I love when you see the junk they put in the street, like a broken television or a chair that they'd have to pay to be taken away. They put it out and they put a little handwritten sign, free, take it. That's because they had to pay $5 or $10 to the garbage man, free. Well, let's give it away, dear. It's a thing nobody would want. Or a broken chair that the guy used 50 years ago at a desk. He puts out and they put a little sign, free. They're the same ones. They go to the farmer's market and everything they get for nothing from the Mexican grower. So I see a guy selling honey. I don't use honey anymore because it usually gives me a headache. And I used to like it as a kid. I found that I don't like sugars at all. I see a guy. I felt bad for him. He was a white guy, very tall, very handsome. He was like a movie star. Looks, good looks on the Peter Fonda look. Tall, good-looking guy. I felt bad for him. That was a rainy day. So I started. He had a little sign. It says, beat your allergies with honey. He said, all right. So I said, what's your theory on honey and allergies? And he very shyly in a somewhat French accent said, well, the honeybees pick up the pollen and the local pollen goes in the honey. And if you take the honey, you build up immunity. I said, all right, I've heard the theory. So I bought a jar of this and a jar of that for $8 a piece. I mean, it was probably too expensive. I came home. I said, I don't know. I'll try it. I take a spoon of the honey. Right away, my eyes tear, my nose runs, and I get a migraine headache.
Savage.
The controversy over trying Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, KSM, in a civil trial has been a hot topic for weeks now. Whether to try him in a civil court or a military court, we know that it doesn't belong in a civil court. But many say a military commission doesn't fit either. Can you believe that? And what do they mean then? What, a hangman's noose? Our next guest is Glenn Slmacy, whose new book, The National Security Court System, talks about creating a new system to match the new challenges that we now face. Glenn Slmacy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, thanks for having me on.
Well, tell us about this new system you have in mind.
I think it's been 8 years, and we're still mired in the legal ambiguities that we've been dealing with for 8 years. Whether we use the civilian courts for the al-Qaeda fighters, or we use the military justice paradigm, or use the military commissions. And they're really two separate and distinct systems, as we all know. And right now, what we're seeing more and more is, particularly with Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, is we're seeing the highlighting really the problems with using one or the other. And it seems there's an opportunity, rather than fighting these arguments we've been fighting for 8 years, for Congress to step up and possibly entertain and look at creating a third option or a national security court system, which is really a hybrid of these two systems. We have the civilian system, we have the military system, and neither one seems to fit neatly for this type of al-Qaeda fighter. Because if you look at it to a large degree, the al-Qaeda fighter is really a hybrid. Is a mixture of both military warrior, if you will, and a civilian, ordinary international criminal. And the war we're fighting is really a mixture or a hybrid of law enforcement operations, and military operations. In fact, we're using more law enforcement in our efforts over in Iraq and Afghanistan than in any other war previous to this. So if we have a hybrid warrior in a hybrid war, it seems logical that we might move forward, step ahead, and entertain the idea of having a hybrid court system best used to both provide for our national security for the United States, provide justice for the victims of 9/11 and other international terrorist atrocities, but also I think it provides an opportunity for us to close the door on Guantanamo and move forward. And I think if we create the system, a hybrid system, a mixture of both the military commissions and our traditional federal civilian courts, we might best accomplish the needs of both providing for that national security, but also adhering to our longstanding commitment to the rule of law. And rather than fight and argue, it might be time to kind of come together and recognize this is the best way to move forward.
Well, what do you think are the downsides to using either the military or the civilian systems that we have in place?
That's a great question, Michael. We have the reality is that both are right and both are wrong, both systems. And that's really what we're dealing with. For the military side, the military commissions, I would say at this point, very few people would say they're not lawful. As a matter of law, they seem fine. But as a matter of policy, which I go into in the book, they're not fitting neatly. Because normally, what you use military commissions for, which we have used since the founding of the country, George Washington had held the first military commission over, of all people, Major John Andre, who was the famous co-conspirator with Benedict Arnold for the capture of West Point. And we've used these throughout our history, but they're normally for the few that violate the laws of war. In World War II, Franklin Roosevelt used them. It was for eight identifiable German saboteurs who were engaging in terrorist activities or planning to in the United States. Distinct from when you look at the Al-Qaeda fighter, every single person is actually violating the laws of war by doctrine. They're taught to. They are taught and trained to kill civilians indiscriminately. They don't wear uniforms. They're not part of a nation state. They're not part of any sort of organized command structure. So what we have in our case is every single one. And as we know, Gitmo at its height was up to almost 800 persons down in Guantanamo Bay and was jamming up the system, if you will. So I think as a matter of policy, and I go to lengths to compare even the executive order that President Roosevelt ordered, which is President Bush modeled his executive order off of Roosevelt's, but it was not being conscious that in our case now we're dealing with every person is violating the laws of war just by the fact of their association with Al-Qaeda, where normally these are used for the few that violate the laws of war, in this case, eight during the Second World War, five or so during the revolutionary period. So you have this distinct presumption flip. So secondarily, we have to recognize that military commissions, although lawful, have their credibility has been eroded through attacks from NGOs, through attacks from Amnesty International, and over time, it has been 8 years, and we've only tried three people in the military commissions. So they haven't ever intended their fulfilled their intended function. Similarly, if you look at the civilian courts, of course, our civilian courts are wonderful. They do great things for our criminal justice system. They are the hallmark of justice throughout the world, and they are used normally for those that engage in ordinary criminal activity. The concerns with a civilian court, how could we ever have a jury trial? How could we ever truly have an unbiased jury be impaneled?
Exactly.
The judges that we have a wonderful federal bar in the United States, but we don't have people that are actually judges that are learned in this niche area of the law, this national security law, law of armed conflict, intelligence law. So if you look at it and you say, putting these people into the system, secondarily, you also have the Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment are normal constitutional protections that we all hold quite dear. And again, since the founding of the country, we want those in place to prevent from the government getting too involved in our lives. We've always wanted that. But in this case, what you have is potentially warriors having to be concerned with reading people Miranda rights, ensuring they have a search authorization when they invade or raid Al-Qaeda safe house over in Yemen. And those are never intended. Warriors don't function that way. So although it would seem natural, and in some cases it might work with the terrorists, we have to recognize we're in some sort of an armed conflict with Al-Qaeda. We're not sure how to best describe it. It is new, relatively new. It's only been 8 years. And we have to stop and look. The civilian system could be right, but it's not fitting neatly. Similarly, the military justice system or the military commissions could be right, but it doesn't fit neatly. And it seems incumbent on policymakers to entertain new ways. As we've updated, Michael, ourselves, in strategically, we've created the Department of Homeland Security since 9/11. We've created the Department or the Director of National Intelligence. We have updated ourselves tactically. We've engaged with the surge in both Iraq with some limited success and continuing success. We're engaging in a surge in Afghanistan, which is a new way of fighting these type of insurgents and counterinsurgency and also the Al-Qaeda fighter themselves. So if we've updated ourselves strategically and now tactically, the only place we really haven't updated ourselves and we continue to be mired in these very difficult debates on complex issues legally, we haven't pushed forward and looked at new ways to do this, recognizing this is a unique armed conflict. And as I said before, a hybrid fighter in a hybrid conflict seems to demand a hybrid court system best to detain, interrogate, as well as adjudicate the Al-Qaeda fighters. So I think we need to move in that direction.
Yeah, well, how would the security court system work?
Well, what I propose is it's a hybrid of the two. So if you have one of the concerns many people have is if we bring them to the United States, we're concerned about the safety of the citizens, legitimately, in different towns and cities. We just saw this playing out in New York. Military bases are the most secure places in the United States to have trials or maintain civility or protection from the outside world. So if you put them on military bases, but you have it overseen by the Department of Justice rather than the Department of Defense, and you have civilian oversight of the process, that immediately adds legitimacy to the system. And you have judges that are learned, Article III judges created federal judges that are learned in the law of armed conflict and national security law, sitting as judges when they're making decisions about whether someone should be let go or hearing cases against the al-Qaeda fighters, will be much more comfortable with their expertise. Similarly, we have separate systems like this for bankruptcy, for tax, for immigration, because those are niche areas of the law. Certainly, myself as a lawyer, I could never imagine myself sitting and hearing a case on bankruptcy. They're niche areas of the law. So the law of armed conflict and national security law demands we have those sorts of judges. And we would have three-judge panels. So there would be no jury, be three-judge panels in black robes, learned judges sitting hearing the cases, but on military bases, using the basically the rules of evidence that are being employed and the evidentiary procedures being employed in the military commissions now. So you have the military commissions side on that sort of input included into the court system. So we'd have the judges, we'd have the military commission's rules of evidence, no juries, and we'd have run by the Department of Justice, so we'd have civilian prosecutors, we'd have the assistant U.S. attorneys, U.S. attorneys, and potentially prosecutors from the National Security Division at the Department of Justice prosecuting the cases, but with their second chair or their assistant as a military JAG from one of the armed services sitting as second chair, serving in that capacity. And I think that gives a feel for how this would proceed. Is the death penalty possible? Of course it would have to be inside the National Security Court system.
Mm-hmm.
The one other item that many of your listeners, Michael, and also many people in the United States are concerned about, something like the security court system being used against ordinary citizens. And I think one of the ways to do that is for Congress to implement a five-year sunset clause, a sunset provision to any legislation creating this court, because if we do take care of the detainees that are now at Guantanamo and others that come forward, at some point we might be able to close the system down or at least have it revisited to ensure no abuse has taken place. One of the items I think people forget as well is Guantanamo Bay is just one place. There are approximately 180 detainees still at Guantanamo Bay right now, but we still have another 700, 800 over in Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. So in Bagram, we have another 800. Additionally, as we continue to surge into Afghanistan, those numbers will increase. So a new system that would be placed, fixed, and set just for these types of cases, which are unique and complex, is not just for Guantanamo, but it's for the detainees at Bagram, Afghanistan, and also the inevitable captures in this war we're fighting. We are fighting a war that is expected to last at least for a generation. And I think we have to be conscious of having a system set up and needing policymakers to look long and hard, rather than saying some will go to civilian courts, some will go to military courts, some will hold indefinitely. It would seem incumbent on policymakers to step forward and look at having one system best suited to attack or to handle the many complex cases coming up by the al-Qaeda fighters. When you have KSM or you have the different items, one of the items that a national security court would provide for us, Michael, is there's a concern of forum shopping, that some who are going to military tribunals are going to immediately say, if I'm being sent to a military tribunal or being held indefinitely, why should I not have the opportunity that others are getting, like KSM, to have my case tried in a civilian court? They're going to seek a change of venue. And one of the items we can remove is this forum shopping, if you will, by having the national security courts legislatively enacted and being put forth as being the most reasonable long-term solution to this ongoing struggle and to remove the problems that we've been fighting one another on over the past 8 years.
Glenn, thanks for being on the Savage Nations.
Michael, thanks for having me, and I hope your listeners do get a chance to take a look at the book and look at these ideas, and it's an honor to be on here with you tonight. Thank you very much.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Hitler of Iran delivered his punch today. Iran is now a nuclear state, he says. Oh, my God.
They said you'll have until the end of that month or this month. And our, response was very clear. We told them that the Iranian nation will never accept your coercive words, your illogical stance, and we are not afraid of any one of you. 2 days ago, we started the process of creating 20% fuel, and I want to inform you that with the grace of God, with a loud voice, I want to announce that with the grace of God, that the head of the Iran's Atomic Energy Agency said that the first 20% fuel was produced and given to our scientists.
You know, we can bring justice in this country. We can seek justice on behalf of the thousands that were killed on 9/11. We shouldn't be afraid to employ our justice system on behalf of bringing murderous terrorist thugs to justice once and for all.
This dictator needs to be stopped, but it seems as though even the libs understand this, and even they know there's going to be another attack, and even though they say we're going to get hit with another attack, they're not doing anything about it. Here is the Queen of Diamonds, the Manchurian candidate herself, Dianne Feinstein.
What is the likelihood of another terrorist attempted attack on the U.S. homeland in the next 3 to 6 months? High or low? Director Blair?
An attempted attack, the priority is certain, I would say.
Mr. Panetta?
I would agree with that.
Mr. Mueller?
Agree.
General Burgess?
Yes, ma'am, agree.
Mr. Dinger?
Yes.
All right. I think that tells us something very clearly.
And here's yet another idiot from the media claiming that the East Coast blizzard proves beyond a reasonable doubt that the sun is causing it. I mean, man is causing it. Well, something is causing it, the related to global swarming. And if you don't believe it, you're not a patriot, he says.
If you want to get serious about it, these guys claiming that the snow in Washington disproves climate change are almost unpatriotic. Older people just have a much harder time grasping the idea that you have many billions of people on the planet with a very, very thin atmosphere, you're able to affect its climate. It's as you, when you, younger people are able to sort of embrace it, understand the evidence, and move forward.
This is the state of the current regime. Soon they'll be jailing people who dare to criticize their global warming madness like Ahmadinejad is doing in Iran.
And now, the Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
Hollywood idiot tortures his teenage daughter with suicide threat. That would be none other than Alec Baldwin. Abuses his daughter, threatens her with his own suicide, and yet Hollywood is rewarding him by letting him host the Oscars. I don't know whether this depravity will actually end one day, nor do I suspect that those at the Academy Awards will boo him. I suspect they will cheer him as though he's a war hero for having survived his own suicide threat. After all, he's one of their own. You know, that's how it works. Anyway, here we are. Here we are. Emil in San Francisco, go ahead, please.
Mike, I'd love to see you in the House or the Senate. You got a solid plan. You know the issues, and you're owned by no one. So, and here's the big thing. You don't need the...
Those are all the reasons that I probably won't win. Emil, let me ask you, you live here in San Francisco, you're as alienated from the political structure as I am. I mean, we've never met, but we've talked on the phone a lot. You know, you have your Goombas up there on the hill, you play bocce, you drink your vino, you cook your calamari. Do you really think she's vulnerable, Boxer?
Absolutely. And I took a page from your book. I ran for mayor of Brisbane, and I had a wonderful time. It was a great experience. And the newcomer is not necessarily the guy in the back row. People love to talk to people that they don't know, that have something to say, and that they don't fear.
Did you ran when? Did you win?
No, I lost in November to the incumbent, but it was a good run. It was a clean race. I got a good taste in my mouth, and that's why I'm encouraging you. I
mean,
you got it all going for you, but you're going to lose a lot of time. You know, money doesn't mean much to you and me, but our time is. But you really got something going for you, and there's a lot to. You're going to shake up the boat, that's for sure.
It would be shaken.
Oh, it'd be beautiful.
It would be beautiful because they'd have to actually listen to what I have to say. They'd start with the smear campaign. I know they'd start with the George Soros Media Matters smear campaign. And I would say, bring it on, because I stand for borders, language, and culture. I don't care how many outtakes you have. Here's the intake. You want to hear the whole speech? Here it is. Secure the borders, English only at the voting place, and culture, culture, culture. And that is the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Bible. If you don't like it, too bad. That's what I stand for. Now, that's a winning campaign.
Absolutely. Go for it, Mike.
Now, here's the most important thing. What are you guys eating tonight?
It's going to be polenta. It's a light night, polenta.
A cold night like tonight, you're having polenta, not something heavy?
Polenta, red gravy, some pork, sausage, meatballs.
Oh, no, so you added that. So you added in the real food at the end.
Yeah, no dessert, though.
And what are you drinking homemade wine?
Vino Rosso from Gigi. He makes his own wine up there by you.
So why don't you ever invite me up there?
Hey, I don't know, Mike. You might not want to be... Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay, thanks for the call, Emil. what do you mean I might not want to? I don't like that answer. That's worrisome. Savage.